I started getting cast as inmate number one, but they still gave me $3.20 a day. I didn't get paid as an extra. So I'd only have like one line, like, Matalos. That was one of my favorite lines. Matalos.
From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, a portrait of Danny Trejo. If you don't recognize his name immediately, you'll definitely recognize his face. So listen to this voice and try and imagine the face it goes with.
I have one question for you, amigo. Where is your brother?
Did you get it? Danny Trejo's signature look is long-haired, a scarred face, and he's usually carrying some very powerful weapon. My favorite movie that he's in is Spy Kids, where he plays Uncle Machete.
Close your eyes and hold out your wrist. I'm going to give you the one gadget you should always carry.
A rubber band?
No, it's a Machete Elastic Wonder.
It's a rubber band.
Yeah, but it's also the world's greatest gadget.
Trejo has starred in over 300 films since he began acting in 1985. Just to name a few, he was in Desperado, Heat, From Dusk Till Dawn, Con Air, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Grindhouse, Machete, and that's just naming a few.
I was born a sinner. I'll probably die a sinner.
He often plays the role of a villain or a tough guy. He says the persona came naturally after 11 years in prison and a pretty tough upbringing, which included being introduced to drugs as a kid. In real life, Danny is anything but a bad guy. Since leaving prison in the 1980s, Trejo has worked as a counselor at a drug rehab program. And now, in addition to acting, he's the entrepreneur behind Trejo's Tacos and Trejo's Donuts in Los Angeles. I sat down with him to discuss how he went from being in and out of juvenile hall and then prison to becoming one of the most recognizable stars in Hollywood. Welcome, Danny Trejo, to Latino USA.
Thank you.
I want to know about memories of Danny Trejo before you were smoking pot at 8 or heroin when you were 12.
When I was like 7, I lived with my grandmother, 5 aunts, and 6 girl cousins. So I had a lot of female orientation. At the age of like 7.5, 8, I moved in with my abuelito, my dad, and my dad's 5 brothers. So life really changed. Life really changed right there. I found myself always kind of getting in trouble. I think it was just kid stuff, but I think the guys in my family demanded a lot more, you know, like, be a man, que trae chavalo. Because my family, Trejo, was known as being very tough, very macho. My abuelita was the sweetest thing in the world. And like all my aunts, I have to say that I was loved. You know, they adored me.
But obviously, as a kid, maybe teenager, doing drugs made you feel what? That, because I'm kind of putting it, I'm like, wait, but it sounds like you were having, like, it was really interesting, a lot of family, sure, a lot of demands. But what was the thing that the drugs were giving you as a young person?
I don't even think that I understood it. I just know that anytime you do drugs with people, you're in that group. You've all of a sudden become a member of that group. You got to understand, up until the age of 7, I was a sissy little kid.
What does that mean?
That's not a good name.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, what do you mean?
I did pee-pee sitting down. I was like a little girl.
¿Cómo?
Because I was with all girls. And when I moved in with my uncles, you know, you find out real quick that little boys don't do pee-pee sitting down. And you find out real quick that little boys don't like kitties. They were like dogs. You know, I can remember sitting in my grandma's living room with all my uncles at night, and then one of my uncles coming in bloody and saying, "Eh, mi catearo, eh," and then all my uncles running out and knowing that the night was going to end up in the emergency somewhere. You know, and it was like, even though I knew that I had to do that, I was afraid.
You do end up in prison. You spend a lot of time in prison. Yeah. I mean, you were in some pretty tough places like Folsom and Soledad and San Quentin.
Yeah, I was in all of them.
How old were you when you end up getting sentenced? Like when does that start?
Well, see, I grew up in that system. I started going to juvenile hall very early. College is simple if you were straight A's in high school. Prison is simple if you grew up in that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And when juvenile hall, camp, youth authority, state prison, you've grown up there. So you know everybody. So you know the ins and outs and how to behave. And basically, there was a feeling of acceptance. And then when you came out of juvenile hall and went back to school, there was a feeling of pride. And people would look up to you that, hey, how about those in the joint? You know, for a long time, I was a really angry, angry person. You know, I kind of felt for a long time that, you know, God had shortchanged me until it's like I gave my life, first of all, to God. And then I just dedicated my life to helping people. And I think because of that dedication, I think that my life has gotten better.
When you say the first thing that you did was you gave yourself over to God? So where did that happen and how did that happen?
That actually happened in Soledad State Prison. Cinco de Mayo, 1968, in Soledad. Me, Ray Pacheco, and Henry Quijada, we were drunk. We were loaded. We incited a riot, and some people got seriously hurt. So, you know, we basically went to the hole with gas chamber offenses and...
Wait, what do you mean by with gas chamber offenses?
Well, Ray Pacheco socked a free person. Henry Quijada, they say, kicked the coach. That's an attack on an officer. It was alleged that I threw a rock and hit Lieutenant Gibbons in the head. So we were in the hole. And I remember asking God to just let me die with dignity. You know, just let me die with dignity and I'll say your name every day and I will do whatever I can for my fellow man. That's the promise I made. But I thought it was just going to be a couple of years and they were going to kill me. And Diosito fooled me and gave me the rest of my life. So I've been saying his name every day and doing whatever I can for my fellow man every day. So when I came out, I'm standing in front of my mom's house trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to do a Johnny B. Good guy? And I couldn't figure, what do I do? How do you be a good person? And I seen one of the ladies in my mom's neighborhood. I seen her trying to drag her Tina out. And I said, that's what I'll do. And I went over to help her.
You mean like a bathtub? Like an empty bathtub kind of thing.
It's a big Tina, a big tub.
A big
tub. And you put all your garbage, all your papers,
right.
Everything in there.
Right.
And I seen her dragging it out, and I went over there to help her. I'll never forget what she said. She said, "Ay, Danny, no me robas." I said, "Shut up, vieja." And I got her Tina, and I pulled it out. And then I went to the back, her yard, to get the other one, and she never took her eyes off me because she knew I was going to steal her lawnmower or take some tools or something. But I got her Tina, I put out. And that was what I first did. I didn't have a job. And I started taking out the old people's trash in my mom's barrio.
You know, one of the things that people know about you, like immediately besides your voice, is your face. Right? I mean, people, hopefully, if they're just like, oh, I don't know who it is, and then they're going to look up Danny Trejo, and they're going to be like, oh, of course I know who Danny Trejo is. He's the guy who's got that face that looks like it's been, pues, I don't know, to like war and back.
Old leather.
So where does that come from, your face, actually? And because I was looking, I was like, well, are there scars on his face? Did he get slashed?
Eddie Bunker once said that your face is going to make it for you. He says, you always look like you want to fight. You always look like you're angry. So your job is to disarm people immediately. Because you got to understand, it's in prison, you have to be able to back people off with a look. You know, you have to be able to tell people, you know what, I'll kill you just by looking at them. So you become a life of intimidation, you know, or manipulation. That's your whole mindset. Intimidate or manipulate. And unless you do, you'll be prey. And I learned my walk. I learned how to intimidate my talk. I learned how to intimidate. God gave me this voice. He wasn't going to make a soprano singer out of me, but...
Coming up on Latino USA, my conversation with Danny Trejo continues.
I've heard, look, mommy, the guy from Spy Kids in about 50 different languages.
Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment at your convenience. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit BetterHelp.com/Latino to learn more.
It's been 2 years since Kathy Griffin took a photo with a bloody Donald Trump mask. She is still feeling the aftermath.
I have never seen anything like this, where if you make a joke about the President of the United States, you may die.
Kathy Griffin on the next It's Been a Minute from NPR.
Hey, we're back, and let's continue now with my conversation with actor and entrepreneur Danny Trejo. So you're making your way. It's like, you know, the 70s. You're working as a drug counselor. You had gone through AA and NA. You're working with young people. Mm-hmm. And you start working as an extra in films.
Uh-huh.
And then you get hired, actually, to start training other actors in boxing.
Just one. What happened was that I was on this movie called Runaway Train.
You're going to get a job. That's what you're going to do. You're going to get a little job, some job a convict can get, like scraping off trays in the cafeteria or clean out toilets.
With John Voight and Eric Roberts. And I ran into a friend of mine that I was in prison with, a guy named Eddie Bunker. Eddie says, are you still boxing? I said, I'm training. And he said, we need somebody to train one of the actors how to box. And I said, what's it pay? Because they're giving $50 a day for being an extra. And he said, $320 a day. And I said, how bad do you want this guy beat up? I thought he wanted me to beat somebody up. That's like hit money, you know what I mean? And he goes, no, you got to be careful. This actor's real high strung, Danny. He might sock you. I says, Eddie, for $320, give him a stick. Are you crazy? I've been beat up for free, homie.
So I'm intrigued by the fact that you were starting to work in Hollywood. You were getting cast. Yeah, oftentimes it was as inmate number one or gang member number one. Or...
At first, I was just an extra. And then I started becoming like inmate number one, bad guy number one, tattooed guy number one. For the first 5 years of my career, really. But as an extra, I was just there walking around. And then when I became a SAG, I started getting cast as inmate number one, but they still gave me $320 a day. I didn't get paid as an extra. I'd only have like one line, like, Matalos. That was one of my favorite lines. Matalos. And that's
movie?
It. I got paid $320.
What movie is that from?
Oh, one of them prison movies. All right, we'll kill all them bottles. And the director would immediately tell me to take off my shirt because of the tattoo I have on my chest. Una charra. Yeah. And the tattoo, it doesn't say that I love America. It doesn't say I was in the Marines. It says this vato was in prison. You know, it's just the prison tattoo. So they would always make me take off my shirt.
I have to say, Danny, one of my favorite movies that you're in, I fell in love with the film and with you and with everybody involved with the movie Spy Kids.
What are you working on?
World's smallest camera.
I don't see it.
Ah, but it sees you.
That made me a household name all over the world. I've heard, look, mommy, the guy from Spy Kids in about 50 different languages.
I love that film because it made us fall in love with Danny Trejo and not be afraid of Danny Trejo.
Yeah. And Robert Rodriguez, let me tell you, Robert Rodriguez has done more for the Latino community in filmmaking than anybody else. He's amazing. It was unbelievable. Like I said, it was like all of a sudden I went from being an actor in R-rated movies to being child-friendly. You know what I mean? It's all these kids are coming, following me around. I'd go to the airport, they'd follow me around.
So you've got this really full life, right? And it's like life is good. And then you decide to open a restaurant?
Well, I was doing a movie called Badass, and one of the producers was a guy named Ash, and he noticed that I like to eat well. I like good food. I don't like junk food. I don't like, you know, I don't eat McDonald's. And he said, Danny, why don't you open a restaurant? So jokingly, I said, Trejo's Tacos, because my mom was an unbelievable cook. She was unbelievable. And, you know, Latino families, at the first of the month, you make big meals, you know, enchiladas and all kinds. But coming towards the end of the month, you're making stuff we would call out the cupboard or we mix it. And I would say, Mom, what's this? She said, never mind, just pomatelo. And, you know, she would just make up stuff because we were running low. And I would always joke, Mom, why don't you open a restaurant? So in her honor, Ash came with a business plan, and he gave it to me. And me being the brilliant businessman that I am, I handed it to my agent, Gloria Hinojosa. And I said, hey, read this, look it up. Because I read three lines. I'm gone. My ADD won't allow me to read more than three lines unless it's a script. And so she said, you know, Dan, it's not a bad deal. And we discussed it, and we opened the first restaurant on La Brea here in L.A., and it just took off.
So it's called?
Trejo's Tacos.
Trejo's Tacos. You didn't stop there, because now you've got Trejo's Donuts?
Trejo's Donuts, Trejo's Cantina. We just opened up a restaurant in LAX on Terminal 1. Trejo's Tacos. So we've got seven restaurants right now. We're opening up another one at the original Farmers Market on 3rd and Fairfax. And, you know, we'll keep going.
So what's bringing you joy these days? I know that you said that you talk about joy and you find it every day.
Yeah.
What's making you really happy now, though?
You know, you make money and that's good, you know, but I have never seen a U-Haul truck following a hearse. So, you know, you can't take it with you. Might as well just enjoy. All these people that are billionaires and not worried about, just make more money, don't worry about global warming, and who cares, that's poison the air. It's like, wow, who cares, man? It's like, you know what, just bring joy. That's what it's about. You know, I woke up this morning, I was clean and sober, my kids were healthy, my friends are all, so by the grace of God, it's like, you know what, I'm already living a miracle, so I gotta enjoy it, you know, I gotta enjoy it.
Well, Danny, thank you for bringing so much joy and fear to all of our to all of our lives. It's been great speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Danny Trejo is an actor and the entrepreneur behind Trejo's Tacos, Trejo's Cantina, and Trejo's Donuts in Los Angeles. You can catch him next in Dora and the Lost City of Gold, which comes out this August. This episode was produced by Sarah Quevedo and edited by Marlon Bishop. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Sofia Palizaca, Antonia Cerejido, Maggie Freeling, and Janice Yamoka. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. Our interns are Caroline Aguirre and Lucas Southard. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. And my dear podcast listener, just one more thing. We really love hearing from you. So can you take a moment to rate and review Latino USA on wherever you listen to your podcasts, and know that we read each and every one of your comments and we love them. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. I'll see you there. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org. The Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. And the Wincote Foundation.
Our theme music was composed by Zenia. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, we dive into the world of forensic science and how it helped bring closure to one Latino family.
We didn't know if he was alive or dead. We just want to know what happened to him.
That's next time on Latino USA.